866-446-9668. Online at restoreoftheheartland.com.
And welcome back to In Focus right here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman in with Riley County USD 378 Superintendent Cliff Williams, also Blue Valley Randolph USD 384 Superintendent Brady Burton. We are talking about state funding, which is really the big topic in education here in the state and really across the nation. We're making headlines there. If you have any questions for these guys, give us a call, 75-537-1350. And guys, I want to talk about a couple things that I noticed in a Hutch News. There's a Hutch News editorial a couple days ago, and it was actually a letter to the editor, and it was an editor's pick, and it was somebody talking about state funding in education. And obviously, I think he was more on probably the Brownback side of things on funding, but he was talking about the numbers, the funding numbers coming in with the state. And I looked it up myself off the Kansas Department of Education's website. Anybody can go over there and check it out. And when you do look at state aid, and I think that's something that's maybe been very confusing, I think, in the conversation about state funding for education in Kansas, is that a lot of us have an idea that state funding has gone down each year in the state. But you look at the numbers, and state funding has been up. From 2006 to 2007, state aid was about $2.8 billion, and 2015 to 16, $3.9 billion. And I know that the CAPERS is involved in a lot of that, and you can also look it up per district. Your guys' thoughts on that, when I guess trying to clear up things on the funding issue, when you look at the raw numbers, when you look at the raw data, the funding has been higher each year overall, and if you look at it almost pure pupil, it has increased every year. So I guess where are we still finding the problems in covering education?
I think overall that is a cloudy situation there. I think it depends on what all you throw in the pot there, and I think sometimes that's misleading that you might throw in capital outlay in that and it changes the number when we know that capital outlay doesn't really go into the classroom to assist kids. And so I would agree that when you look at the raw data, it looks like the overall funding has gone up, and that kind of parallels that our enrollment continues to increase across the state. And so as you divvy that out equally, you see that that's continued to decline. I don't think that the funding has stayed up with the cost of living as well, and so that's been a struggle for us, you know, because another part that I would put in that equation is our kids come in, we see that they have more needs. You know, if I have a special needs student that maybe is autistic or have some behavior or some handicap, you know, it takes more resources to make sure that those kids have access to the curriculum. And so I think sometimes that cloudies that picture that's out there that, you know, we need to continue to try to meet their needs, and it takes more resources, whether that's training or changing your facilities, you know, on down the line, to make sure that those kids can have a successful life, and that's through learning all the basic skills and enhancing that, and in the end, having a career. And so, Brady, I would say that that number has gone up, but I think it's misleading.
My comments on that. First of all, on your part, Brady, I think that's a very good question, and I think that's one a lot of people do have. It's confusing because they do see numbers put out by certain factions in politics in Kansas, including our governor, that try to say the funding has gone up and so on and so forth, when indeed it hasn't. And what has happened over the last few years is that certain funds that we do get that were separate and not added in have been combined into our budget, and they call them flow-through money. Instead of us keeping them or being paid by the state, they now come into our budget one day, and then they go back out the next day back into the state budget. And so it looks like that money is part of our budget, when indeed it really isn't. And that's what Governor Brownback and those that are wanting the public to think there's more money in education have done, is that they've changed the laws to where funds used to be separate, and we had them separate, that now they come from the state into our budgets one day, and then they flow back out the next day back into the state budget, but they're counted into our local budgets. And so it looks like more money is going in when indeed it really isn't. So I think that's where the confusion is.
And that, you know, I printed off some of this data, and you look at it, and it's just looking at expenditures is how it's listed here. Looking at for Riley County School District, looking at total expenditures, and this is amount per pupil, it shows for last year just a little over $12,000 a pupil. I mean, does that sound right to you, or is that an example of that's maybe what the number looks like on paper, but when it comes to what you guys actually see, is it different?
Well, I think maybe for Blue Valley, it might even, I don't know if you have ours, I think it may be higher than that.
All confused there. Yeah, you guys are actually
13, isn't it?
It shows 16.
Okay. Again, that's confusing because no, not really. But again, they're adding in capital outlay. They're adding in some of these funds that we really don't go into the classroom. Capital outlay can only be used for repair of buildings, buying buses, some of those type of things. And so, you know, my first part of my career, I was a high school coach, and you know, you learn that you can show anything on how your kids were doing by stats. And I think this is no different. But so.
Yeah, and it's, if you guys want to take a look at these again. But the way it's broken down has state aid and federal aid and local revenue. And what I've noticed in all our major school districts, according to these numbers, again, this is numbers from the Kansas Department of Education and overall across the state, local revenue has actually been the revenue that has been going down, whereas state and federal revenue, they've been pretty consistent, mostly increasing each time. Again, according to these numbers I'm looking at here. But when you look at the local revenue coming in, that's where it's been kind of lower. Is that something you guys have maybe noticed where on the local side, where some of that funding going to schools has kind of decreased a little bit? I know there's been a few bond issues, or there was something on the ballot for Riley County that failed a couple years ago.
Yeah,
was that last year?
Last year we lost a bond issue, and we lost one previous to that. I think one thing that, again, is misleading in that information there, Brady, is that a few years ago, we took some things that were coming locally as far as revenue is, and it all of a sudden fell into the definition of state aid. And so really we were generating that locally, but it was going to the state, and then they were turning around and sending it back to us, and it was a reclassification of where are those funds really coming from. So I think that's misleading, but those were the regs that we needed to follow, and we did. And so I haven't seen these numbers that you're looking at here. You know, I mean, I haven't looked at that form, but I just think there's been some shell games going around. Overall, the total funding hasn't really increased, you know, that we have coming through our funds. All you got to do is look at our budgets and ask, you know, how much have we spending, looking at our raises, you know, cost of living things, you know, that we're all been pinching, we've been cutting. If we have somebody retire, we've been using attrition. And, you know, I think if you're generating more revenue, you're not doing those things.
Well, and I might add, too, on local revenue, it's been 3 years ago, maybe now, we had a mail-in ballot to raise our local option budget, which is the only we basically, any school district, have two ways to raise revenue locally. One is through your local option budget, which is capped at 30%. By the state, unless you have a election of your patrons to increase it 3% to 33%, which we did about 3 years ago. And so we increased our local revenue by 3% for a local option budget. The other way is through your capital outlay fund, and you can have up to 8 mills on that locally. And we had 0 mills for a lot of years at Blue Valley. And then I lose track of time. 4 or 5 years ago, we passed a resolution to go to 4 mills. And then a couple years ago, we went ahead and increased it to 8 mills. So really, other than the money we get from the state or federal government, there's only two ways we can generate local money. And that is through your local option budget, which we're beyond the max of that due to a local election that we had, or your capital outlay fund, which we're at the maximum of 8 mils. So we're bringing in the maximum amount of local money we can to fund our school district.
And being in this situation right now with the state where, you know, sales tax has gone up, property taxes go up, people just don't have a big appetite for really anything more at this point. So you guys are in a tough spot, no question. And we're kind of running out of time with you guys. Let's get to a few quick things you guys want to talk about.
Well, graduation. I might mention real quick, Cliff mentioned attrition with retired teachers sometime. I wanted to mention we do have two staff members that are retiring at the end of the school year that are long tenured in our district. And one is Jeannie Dowell, who is our FACS teacher, which is Family and Consumer Sciences teacher. She's been with our district for 35 years and is retiring at the end of the school year. And the other one I wanted to mention is Kent Unruh, who is our technology director, and he's been servicing our district for 29 years. So kudos to both those two, and we wish them the best in retirement.
Well, that's fantastic. 64 years there between those two. That's a lot of knowledge to try to regain, and I wish them luck as well. I've just got a few people I'd like to thank. Number one, today is Office Professionals Day, and I know speaking on behalf of Brady, we have our secretaries that help us so much. They work with our patrons and our people, and they put up with the two of us as well, and so we can't say thanks enough for what all they do in a year, and so we wish them a great day. I'd also like to thank all the volunteers and those that donated. We had a very successful PTO carnival this past Saturday. The house was packed at the grade school. It was fun. It was a great environment, and they donate so much, and then all that goes right back to the kids. Like if we pay for field trips out of that money, we donate money to the library, and so it's just a great cause. And I'd like to thank our parents and our patrons that participated in our mission statement survey. We wanted to ask them if they felt like our mission statement paralleled what they wanted a graduate to be able to do, and we heard overwhelmingly that our families feel like it's a good mission statement and we need to stay focused on it, and that's what we're going to use to guide everything that we do in the district. So I really do appreciate all those gracious efforts.
All right, that'll work. Thanks a lot, guys, for coming in. I'm sure
Thank
we'll be
you,
talking
Ray.
To you all again soon. We'll have Jen Carlson with K-State Global Campus. She'll be on In Focus next. Listen to News Radio KMAN.
The perfect home requires the perfect financing.